reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. But notice what the first part of that said, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. That's not, now there's different words for fear means different things. Like the Bible says, fear not, right? Fear not what man can do to you. Fear not this, fear not that. But then here he says, fear the Lord. What that means there is, it means respect, it means reverence. And I looked up, let's go to 1 Samuel 2:30. Put that one up. We won't turn there since we're going to read that one verse, but we will go back to that, I think, later. It says, wherefore the Lord of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, he's talking to Levi and his sons, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But, how many knows, even though God has a good plan for you, you can mess it up. You can change it. He says, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You might think, well, I would never despise the Lord. All you got to do is think little of him. How many knows there is nobody any greater than God? So therefore, there should be nobody any more honored, any more respected in my thoughts or in my doings or to me. Just like here, Eli was honoring his sons above the Lord. What that means by they was doing temple things in the temple they shouldn't be doing. They was taking offerings they shouldn't have been taking, and just all kinds of stuff really that they knew was not right. And their father Eli, he knew about it. But because he knew about it, he honored them. What's that mean? He respected them. He didn't say anything to them. He didn't make them change. But how many knows he should have? Because in honoring his sons, he dishonored the Lord. How many knows we can do the same thing? Just like leadership in a church or a family or anything. If leadership is right, they don't want to correct you. Y'all didn't hear me. They don't want to correct you. Just like this, say I have to bring some correction to somebody at church for something other, whatever the case might be, or Scotty or whoever is over them or whatever has to. You don't want to do that. You run the risk of them getting mad. You run the risk of them getting offended. You run the risk of them running around telling everybody stuff in the church that's not so. Y'all not saying nothing. Or you run the risk of them quitting or whatever. But if you're going to honor God, you have to do it. Y'all remember, I don't know, I guess it's been a few weeks ago now, when I told y'all I was having a problem about people wearing hats in the church. That's never bothered me before. Do what you want to. I don't care really. You know, as far as personally. But that began to bother me and bother me and bother me until it got really, really bad. And I did not want to say anything. But how many knows if I'm going to honor the Lord over people, then I have to. And when I told you all about that, that went away and I haven't been bothered again. I don't know if anybody's been wearing them or not. I've not been paying no attention. But do you understand what I'm telling you? Now, let's see some definitions here that I looked at. The word honor, just in the Webster's Dictionary, it says high regard or respect. The word respect in the Webster's Dictionary says to show consideration to or esteem for, courtesy, considerate treatment. How many knows true honor and respect comes from the heart? Let's look at Matthew 15. We've had people here before that we live nowadays, we live especially now in a very, not everybody's like that, but very disrespectful, dishonorable culture, people. Now, I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about in the church too. I mean, we've had people come here and you say something to them, they're like, sup? You don't talk to people like that. But see, now, evidently, they've not been taught. Because, see, people used to teach their children manners, just simple, everyday manners. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you. Treat people with courtesy. That's what it said, right? Respect, it means to treat people considerately, with courtesy, to where nowadays, a lot of times, you don't get that. See, I don't want you to treat me any different. But how many knows, according to Scripture, place is supposed to be treated different. Not necessarily person, just like God. He got real upset whenever Miriam and Aaron was talking about Moses. And he told him, he said, I heard what you said about me. They're like, when did we talk about you, God? Now I'm paraphrasing. And God said, when you, everything that you said about Moses, you was saying it about me. Why? Because Moses' place required respect and honor, and Miriam and Aaron didn't give it to him. So therefore, when they didn't give it to God, give it to Moses, they didn't give it to God. That's the very reason that God says for children to honor your mother and your father. Because when you're honoring your mother and your father, you're honoring God. Why? It is the place that God has put over you. But let's look here in, what did I tell y'all? Matthew 15? Yeah, I need to get over our stone. Thought that didn't look right. God is, to a certain level, He will give you what you give Him. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. What if you don't give Him no praise? There's nothing to inhabit, right? God says if you will honor Him, He will honor you. But if you lightly esteem Him or despise Him, which means think little of, He will think very little of you, right? So here in Matthew 5, I'm going to start in 15. I'm sorry. Verse 1. How do I get that? King James. He says, then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Now what he's saying right here is, say like financially, to take financial care of your parents and provide for them things that they need and things like that. And here they're saying, we're going to give it all to the temple, so therefore we're free from taking care of our parents. That's not what the Bible says. But he says here, that's what you're doing and doing away with my commandment. He said, verse 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites. How many knows hypocrite, when you look it up, means pretender? Just because I'm not perfect does not mean I'm a hypocrite. Now, if I'm pretending to be something that I'm really not, then that is a hypocrite. He said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me, or near unto me, with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. But what's he say? Their heart is far from me. He says, but in vain do they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So we see here that honor can only come from the heart. We've had people come here before. We've been doing this a long time. What, 23 years now? And so we've seen a lot of stuff. Y'all that have been here, you've seen a lot of stuff, and some you didn't see it. We've had people come here, they say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But the words out of their mouth is right, but when they say them, you can feel it. There is no honor in what they're saying whatsoever. Y'all ever experienced that? You'd be better off just not even say it. Or get your heart right and then say it. I've had people here that... Their hearts, actually, they was not right. And they thought they was, I think. And they wanted to honor Scotty. They bought him a, they took him in there and saw what size shoe he wore or whatever, because they wanted to buy him a pair of shoes. You know, it was supposed to be honor. You know, honoring their pastor or whatever. But when he took his shoe off for them to see what size it, they made fun of him for the brand of shoes that he was wearing. Y'all not saying nothing. Do you understand? You're trying to honor somebody, but you're dishonoring them. You don't even know what you're doing. And so anyway, they went and they bought him a real expensive pair of shoes, and just a little bit of time went by, and then before you know it, they're running around telling everybody that's not my blood kin in the church of how they're leaving here and trying to get them to go with them. Some of you know what happened. Some of you may not, or whatever. That is dishonor. But see, you want to act like you're honoring somebody because you're giving an expensive gift. God doesn't care how much expensive gifts you give. Everything with God is about the heart. The Bible says over there in Hebrews, what is it? I can't think of now. What is it? 12:4 maybe. Anyway, y'all know when I say it. It says, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even asunder the soul and the spirit, and what? Is a discerner of the intents, right? Of the heart. The word of God, he knows. How many knows Jesus is the word, the Bible says, that became flesh? And how many, he's not just Jesus, he's still the word. And he's still discerning the intentions and the thoughts and different things of our heart. So we want to make sure that if we want God to do all this stuff, we want him to honor us. We want him to just come in here and just show up and show out and honor us and manifest himself. How many knows he's got to have more honor out of us? Just like what I brought up about wearing the hats in here. Evidently, it was bothering God. I don't care. I ain't thought nothing about it. But evidently, it was bothering him. And then whenever I said it, it went away. You know, and you can call it just this service. Me personally, it's hard for me to separate. I don't see the giveaway as any different than I do this service right here. It's just a different part of another service of God's ministry, right? Don't we want him to show up out there? Well, then what? We got to honor him out there, right? If you want him to show up here at practice, you know, teach us how to flow in the anointing and manifest himself here. You can hit notes when his presence is here that you never even knew was there. You can sound like you can't carry a tune in a bucket, but get his presence here. Get him here in manifestation, and he can make you sing like a mockingbird and just touch and minister to. He makes all the difference. So if you want him here in practice, guess what? You must honor him more here in practice. So you may think that me saying that about the hats was just for this service. May not necessarily be. Why? Because wherever we show him honor, right? He says, I will show you honor. But if you don't show me honor, if you think little of me, then I'm going to think little of you. And I don't know about y'all, which I do. I believe that I do. We all want God to honor us. We all want his presence. We all want his manifestations in this house, in the giveaway, on the praise team, in the clothes building, right? I mean, that's one reason why we don't smoke and dip and chew in here. I don't care if you smoke, dip, and chew. Drink you a gallon of whiskey a day. Makes me no difference. You understand what I'm saying? But how many knows, if we're going to honor God, things have to be separate. The Bible calls us a separate people, a called out people, a people that is holy unto the Lord. Not because we made ourselves holy, but because he made us holy. And that means he separated us. And what he done, he separated us for his own personal use. That's why we're separate. But when we honor him, he will honor us more and more and more. That's just like this. There's been times that I thought about it myself. I thought, I'm going to have to tighten up in service. I'm going to have to make these grandkids not say a word, and I'm not going to have to be talking to them either. Ari was talking to me Wednesday night about something, and it was important. But how many knows, I should have said, we'll talk about it later. How many knows, even though things are important, there's a time for everything. And then there are certain times that it's not time for that, right? How many knows when we come to church, just like this, say so the speaker is up here saying something or whatever, you know, and maybe you don't agree. Well, don't write it down in your book how you don't agree, and don't nudge your neighbor and tell them how you don't agree. Why? You're breaking up the atmosphere, number one. And if you don't agree, just write it down what the scripture is. Go home and study it for yourself until you do agree, or if it's wrong, then come back and bring it up. You understand what I'm telling you? There's a time for everything. And just like this, say the President of the United States walked in the room. What do you do? Y'all ever been to court? What happens when that judge just walks in the room? Why is that? It's honor is what it is. Just like this. Now listen, I'm not saying nothing about the clapping. Just like this. Clapping is fine. That's good. But how many knows we should give more than that to God? Because we'll say, oh, give Brother Scotty a hand. Oh, give Brother so-and-so a hand. Let him know we love him. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand. Where is the difference in the honor? Do you understand what I'm telling? I'm not saying you can't clap. But where is the... How many knows I should give God more honor than I give anybody else? His honor is different. It's not the same. Just like, sure, you could clap, but guess what? You could say, thank you, Lord. Raise your hand, right? I mean, when the president comes out, we don't raise our hand. Or when the judge comes out, we don't raise our hand. That's set apart for the Lord, right? That's the honor that is only given unto him. So let's look here in We want to make sure that the honor is of our hearts. And how many knows you can change your heart? You can absolutely change your heart. I can change my heart. I didn't write that one down, but that's the first one. What was that? Romans 13? Yeah, let's go to Romans. I think it's 13. Right quick. I forgot to write that on my paper. We're not going to take time to read this whole thing. I'll try to paraphrase just a little bit to where we're going to pick it up at. Starting in verse 1, he's talking about the civil authorities and the governors and different things like that. But what do I have, Beth? Verse 5. We're going to start here for time's sake in verse 5. It says, therefore one must be subject, this is amplified, not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, he's talking about the authorities over you, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of conscience. For this same reason you pay taxes. For the civil authorities are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attending to this very service. Now this is my key verse here. He says, render to all men their dues. He says, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. We know who taxes are due to, right? We have to pay taxes to the federal government and all that. He goes on and he says, revenue to whom revenue is due. But notice he says, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. There are those that are supposed to be honored, and it doesn't always mean necessarily that they are honorable. You've got parents that, I mean, they're just really not good parents at all, but whatsoever. But how many knows you can do the Word? The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll help you do the Word. And if you honor your father and your mother, the Bible said it's the first commandment with promise. Things will go well with you, right? So we want to make sure that we do that. Now let's look here in, let's go to 1 Samuel 2 now. So you may think what I'm saying is a very little thing, but it's not to God. Nothing is little to God. Everything he says has utmost importance. Now, we read that one verse a while ago, but we're going to go back and read more of this. What have I got? 27 through 30. All right, this is going to be amplified. It says, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus has the Lord said, I plainly revealed myself to the house of your father, forefather Aaron, when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house. Moreover, I selected him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer on my altar. Listen, and there's nothing that we do is little to God. I don't care. You may not be a teacher. You may not be fivefold ministry. Maybe you just sort some clothes down there. Do you understand? It is all just as important to God, and we will all be rewarded. He goes on and he says, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And I gave from then on to the house of your father, forefather, all of the offerings of the Israelites made by fire. Why then do you kick? Notice what he says, trample upon, treat with contempt my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves upon the choicest part of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and that of your father, forefather Aaron, should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now let's go to Malachi 1. I saw a connection here in this that I had never seen before. Now he's talking there about the offerings, right? The offerings that he's talking about is the ones that... they made more offerings and sacrifices, just more than just those that was once a year to atone for sin and all of that. They made all kinds of different offerings and different things like that. And God told them, he said, you're not doing right. I gave you portions out of each offerings, didn't I? And all of that stuff. He said, but no, you think little of me, so now you're stealing and you're taking what you're not supposed to be taking. Now look here in Malachi 1. Yeah, that's an amplified. We're going to start reading for time's sake in verse 6. How do I get that? Amplified. This is going to be the amplified. You can look on the screen if you don't have one. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Now, we just got through reading the New Testament. Give to all men where honor is due, right? Give them honor. Respect where respect is due. He says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. This is God talking. If then I am a father, is he? He's the ultimate father, right? All fathers came from him. He says, then I am a father. He says, where is my honor? God would ask us today, where's his honor? He says, and if I am a master, and he is, isn't he? He says, where is the reverent fear due me? I believe this is a big problem that we're having today, especially in the church, and it is the fear of the Lord. It is the reverence of the Lord. Do you realize in this New Testament now, Ananias and Sapphira, right? New Testament, Book of Acts, churchmen started for a little while before they dropped dead because of there was so much presence and power of and presence of the Lord in the place. Peter didn't kill them. How many knows when God is in manifest, you can't just come in there and act and do anything that you choose to. Just like them. And what was the problem? What was it over? It was over money. It was over greed in their heart that they wanted to put out there to people, you know, oh, we're going to give this and we're going to do that. And you got stuff like that that goes on in the churches today. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. But then when it came right down to it, what happened? There was not honor and respect for God in their heart. There was honor, respect, and greed for them. So they only gave a portion of what they had promised. And it wasn't because they had promised to do better or whatever, but when you're in that kind of manifestation of the presence of the Lord, you can't get by with stuff. You understand he's so great, it's the reason why we're going to have to be changed when we get there, because in this flesh we could not stand in his presence. But he goes on here, and he says, reverent fear do me, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. You would not think that leadership in a church or what would despise or think little of his name. Listen, when you go against God and you start putting people in offices and different things that he says is abomination to him and different things like that, and you start letting all kinds of different things go on in church. I mean, we've had people here that the teenagers are hugged up, sucking lips and everything else while the service is going on. And I had to go to him and tell him, that's not going to happen here. And if it continues, your tail will be back over at the church where you came from. I don't mean that in no bad way, but I love and I honor the Lord. And then I've got other people, because I didn't see it particularly at certain times, telling me what's going on. It's bothering them. This sad thing when we have to come to church and men have to cover up their eyes because women are about half naked in the church. Y'all not saying much. You think that God thinks very highly of that? No. The way that God looks at that, he says, that's the way you're doing to me. Whenever I go to church, I try to look my best. Y'all might not think much of my best, but compared to my home, it's this pretty good upgrade, I think, you know. I mean, at home, this is very little makeup. At home, no makeup at all. Some days my hair ain't brushed. Sometimes my teeth ain't brushed. I got on cut-off shirts that got no sleeves. I mean, I don't look as good as I do right now. Regardless of what you think I look right now. But I feel like when I come to the house of the Lord, I'm not dressing up for you. You should not be dressing up for me. Why? If I was going to meet the President of the United States or somebody that I held in high regard, surely I would brush my teeth and my hair, wouldn't I? Yeah. It's the same whenever I go to church. But yet at the same time, you've got people, they come to church just nonchalant. Don't matter what they got on. Oh, good Lord. And then they bring like a picnic. They bring like a picnic. How many knows God's house ain't no coffee shop? It ain't no beach where we have picnics. And I'm not saying you can't get a drink or have a snack. That's not what I'm saying. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? God says everything is about the heart. So if I'm just coming nonchalantly to God, what is that saying about my heart toward him? What is that saying to God? Well, he's just going to come nonchalant to me. I don't want that, though. I want him to honor me. I want him to heal my kids when they're sick. I want him to show up when I need money. I want him to do all of this stuff, right? Well, he says, okay, we're in a working relationship. It's not one-sided. God has his part, and he always does it. I have my part, and when I do it, I get the results of what he said. Let's go on here. He goes on and he says here, how and in what way have we despised your name? Now they playing dumb. Oh, we don't know, God. A lot of people today play that game. This is what he's going to tell us. He says, by offering polluted food upon my altar. Now, we don't bring most time food to the Lord. When we take up offerings, it usually comes from money, right? You worked your job or however you got increase or whatever, and we bring money. They say, how have we polluted it and profaned you? Now, they don't know again. Notice what the Lord says. By thinking, notice what he said, not even what you do. By thinking that the table of the Lord is contemptible and may be despised. You're thinking very little of his offerings. He goes on and he says, when you priests offer blind animals for sacrifice. Here we go. So you got people, they want to bring a seed because they got a need, because they heard what their pastor said, but they don't want to bring no tithes or no offerings. They just want to bring a little $20 seed or whatever, the $2 seed, whatever the case might be, and throw that in there because they think that's going to get my need met. No, 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 no. Not when you're dishonoring God. Look what he says there. He goes on and he says, and when you priests offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? He says, present such a thing, a blind or lame or sick animal, now to your governor in payment for your taxes. I can just see this. Calling up the tax people, say, hey, I know I owe you $10,000, but I'm going to give you $1,000, and you're going to be good with that. Think that's going to work? Why? He's just a governor. They're just the IRS. Don't God have way more power? He goes on and he says, and see what will happen. Will he be pleased with you? We know they won't. You're going to jail. Or will he receive you graciously? Says the Lord of hosts. Now then, I, Malachi, beg you, priest, entreat God earnestly that he will be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand as a defective animal for sacrifice. Will he accept it or show you favor to any of you?
No, why not? Because he said he wouldn't, right? You're not honoring him. You're dishonoring him.
He goes on and he says, says the Lord of hosts. How far did I go with that? 14, wasn't it? Verse 11. Or no, what, I get to 10. He says, oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me. Look what we're talking about. We're talking about offerings and sacrifices. And God's talking about honoring him, ministering to him. See, just like this, when your tithe is $20, don't bring $15. Why? See, it's not the amount of the money. It is about the heart. And when, just like here, what they would do, they would take their money or whatever they had and they would exchange it for a ram or a bull or turtle doves or something another that they would bring as an offering to the Lord. And how many knows the sick ones, the ones that should have two ears and only has one ear, they're cheaper. Right? So then they would be buying them and bringing them to the Lord. Whenever you go back to the very beginning of this book, I don't have time for that today, but you go back to the very beginning of this book, the first thing that happened after the fall, after they had children, is one killed the other. Why? Over the offering. See, I don't think a lot of times, I know I haven't, seen this stuff as important as what it is to God. See, a lot of times in the church, we don't like to make big of the tithes and the offerings and the things that we come and we bring to God. Let's hurry up and get that over with, you know, and just shove that out of the way, you know, because people really don't like to do. No, 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 you better not. It's very important to God. It is highly desired of God that we bring him respect in our tithes and in our offerings to him. It's very important. He's telling us here. Let's go on here. He says, to minister to me, who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar to no purpose, an empty, futile, fruitless pretense. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. Well, I thought God accepted all offerings. Well, according to this, he don't. According to Genesis, he doesn't. Right? He did not accept Cain's offering. God doesn't accept it. See, we like to play these games in our heads sometimes and make up this God that we think is just all tolerant, all accepting, love beyond measure. I mean, with such love that you can do anything, and I still love you, and I still bless you. And now, there's nothing you can do that can make God not love you. But according to Scripture, there's things that we can do that he will not honor us, that will cause him to think very little of us, think very little of our stuff, be very little involved in our lives, be very little involved in our services. Right? Let's go on here. He says, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name shall be great among the nations, and every place incense shall be offered to my name, and indeed a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you priests profane it when you, by your actions, you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit of it, its food is contemptible and may be despised, thought little of, in other words. You say also, behold, what a drudgery and weariness this is. What a drudgery and a weariness this is to get up and go to church. Don't I say that? I know some of us, we have time, sickness attacks you, you're tired, whatever, that we may not always just feel in our flesh this great desire to go to church. But how many knows when you are week after week after week just don't want to go to church and just make, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. I'm talking about when it goes on and on and on. When you don't want to play that keyboard or them drums or you don't want to get up here and sing or whatever, time after time, there's something wrong with you. And notice what he says right there. He says, what a drudgery and weariness this is. Oh, God, I got to play them drums. I don't want to play them drums. Oh, God, that nursery, never. Forget it. Thinking very little of God and his stuff. Why? If God allows us to do anything or asked us to do anything, it should be an outright privilege. And if it's not, I can change my heart. If I'm willing, I can change it. And see, we got to be careful because the Bible says that the heart is most deceitful above all things. You can think you know it. But how many knows God is the one that really knows it? And when he puts his finger on things, all we got to do is change. That's all. That's all he's wanting us. Why? For our good. Because he wants to bless us. He wants to be greatly involved in all of our stuff. But we can't ever think that anything that we do for him can never be and allow us to be a drudgery to us. Why? I don't want it to be a drudgery to God when I need $1,000. Right? I don't want it to be a weariness. Oh, God, I'm so weary with taking care of them. God never says that about us. He wants to take care of us. He's our Father. But you know what? The same as you are with your kids. When my kids is acting up, you know, acting a fool and all this and disrespecting me or what, you are cut off. Borrow the car. Have you lost your mind? I just told you to take the garbage out. It's been laying there on the back porch 2 weeks. And you want to borrow the car? Y'all not saying nothing. See, God's not different. We're made in his image and his likeness. Let's go on here. He says, and you have sniffed at it. Oh, my goodness. This is strong words from the Lord, says the Lord of hosts. And you have brought that which was taken by violence, or the lame or the sick. This you bring as an offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed is the cheating deceiver who has a male in his flock and vows to offer it, yet sacrifices to the sovereign Lord a blemished or diseased thing. For I am a great king. Is he not the greatest king there has ever been and ever will be? Says the Lord of hosts, and my name is terrible and to be reverently feared among the nations. Now, look now at Malachi 2. I broke this up because I'm trying not to take up too much time and read this whole stuff. But it's very important. Verse 10. I think I got that amplified, don't I? Yeah. Okay. Verse 10, he says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then do we deal faithlessly and treacherously each against his brother, profaning the covenant of God with our fathers? Judah has been faithless and dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah, that is, Jewish men, has profaned the holy sanctuary of the Lord. You understand, we can profane this one? This is the sanctuary of the Lord, isn't it? That he chose for us to come and meet each other. Now, I know we are a dwelling place for God too. He lives inside of us. But then outside here too, this is also a sanctuary. He goes on and he says, the holy sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves. God loves it. And has married the daughter of a foreign God, having divorced his Jewish wife. The Lord will cast out the tents of Jacob to the last man, those who do this evil thing. The master and the servant of the pupil alike, even him who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this you do with double guilt. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears shed by your unoffending wives, divorced by you that you might take heathen wives, and with your own weeping and crying out because the Lord does not regard your offering. Now notice what he says here. And now he's not talking about because you're bringing the lame and all that. Now he's talking about because you have divorced your wife. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Marriage is very, very important to God. Now listen, don't get condemned if you've been married before and divorced and all. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about right now. Whatever you have been, you can't change. But you can change from today forward. I don't care if you've done been married 5 or 6 times, right? This is very important to God. He brings this marriage covenant up into the same thing that he's talking about here in Malachi. This whole thing is talking about the tithes and the offering and thinking little of God's stuff. So now he comes over here, he's talking over there about you bringing the lame and the halt and all that. Chapter 2, he's talking about now you've went and divorced your wife to marry a heathen wife. How many knows marriage is a covenant? God sees it as a covenant. And how many knows God does not break covenant, and he expects us not to break covenant? Absolutely not. Now he's saying, now this is the reason why I'm not regarding your offering. Part of verse 13, he says, and with your own weeping and crying out, because the Lord does not regard your offering anymore or accept it with favor at your hand. Yet you ask, why does he reject it? Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously and to whom you were faithless. Yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant made by your marriage vows. And did not God make you and your wife one flesh? Did not one make you and preserve your spirit alive? And why did God make you two one? Because he sought a godly offspring from your union. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, and let not one deal treacherously and be faithless to the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation, and him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. You have wearied the Lord with your words. I don't want to do that. What is it? Proverbs 18:21, life and death's in the power of the tongue. And God says, my words can weary him, make him so sick and tired, I guess. He says, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? They run around acting like they ain't doing a thing to God, don't they? He says, you do it when by your actions you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? But notice that the first in chapter 1, he's talking about you're trading in, giving your money or whatever for the lame, the sick, the halt, all of that stuff. In other words, not your best, right? Not bringing God the best that you have. Listen, if holy clothes is all you've got, just let them be clean. Take some effort. Listen, I have washed my clothes in the river with Ajax, so I know what I'm talking about. This was years ago when I had run away and all that and got no way to take no bath or nothing. I had a can of Ajax and washed clothes. So how many knows God's not into laziness, God's into productivity. And if your clothes, if that's all you got, and you make sure they're clean and your shoes is shined up or whatever, and you're coming for the best that you can to the Lord to honor Him and be respectful to Him, He'll give you clothes that ain't got holes in them. But if you're just wearing that and it's just nonchalant, you know, I mean, like we're going to the beach, it don't make no difference. You're not going to get much more. And then in this one, chapter 2, he's talking about the marriage relationship. This whole thing right here, he's talking about the marriage relationship. Do you understand in New Testament, the Bible says for men, Scotty, not to be into it, why our prayers are going to be hindered? Do you know the New Testament says I am to honor Him? Glad you nodded, Sandy. I don't think anybody else nodded or even said amen. Come on, y'all women, this is a good thing. I used to see it as a bad thing, but it's not. Now I can honor Him, and me and the Lord, we just have such good time. Whether He's honorable or not has nothing to do with it. So I have my little paper there, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, that I read almost every day. Y'all remember that, right? God's ideal woman. Over there, that it's not the elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, but it's the hidden person of the heart, the genuine, quiet spirit of a woman, right? And the Bible says that she honors her husband. She respects her husband. She defers to him. Treats herself as secondary to, right? Come on. Y'all ain't been reading. We're going to have to read it. Why? Because if I honor Him, it's place. It's not about Him. He could be one of the most dishonorable people on the planet. But if I'll do my part, and I can, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? If I can, if I do, then God will honor me, whether He's an honorable man or He's not. Right? So, I'm supposed to honor my husband. Why? It's about place. He could be dumb as dirt. Don't make no difference. It's about place. Just like husbands loving your wives. Right? Christ loves the church, and that's how you're supposed to love your wife. All of that is for blessing. Not so we have a hard time and all this other stuff and be annoyed and all that. No, it's for blessing. Just like leadership in a church or whatever. You honor leadership, God honors you. Why? Just like the story about Moses and Miriam and Aaron. Just like Brother Brad. I have never ever said one bad word about Brother Brad, and I never will. And he's a little strange sometimes. People that know him, they know what I'm talking about. He's a little awkward sometimes or whatever. But no, I don't care if the man was to start committing adultery, stay drunk all the time, whatever. I won't listen to his counsel, but I will never dishonor him. Why? Because when I do, I'm honoring God, and I want God honoring me. Why? I want His presence in my life. I want Him when I need something. I want Him being right there to give it to me, right? We're in a relationship with Him. But see, if I run around dishonoring everybody and everything and think very little when I come to church about the people that's here, just like this, whenever we take communion, the Bible says, you better not take it in an unworthily manner. Now, some people's thought that's, you know, don't give a communion to people that's not saved, or you got to just open your lid and drink your cup a certain way. That is not at all what it is. When you go back and you study that, whenever they would come together, they would bring food and different things like that, and they would be some, they might not have anything to bring. And then you got these that would bring a bunch and be over there criticizing those that brought nothing. Y'all know what it says, don't you? What is that, 1 Corinthians 11, maybe over there, somewhere around in there? Yeah, he says, don't come and take communion in an unworthy manner. He said, that's the very reason why some of you are sick and you die early. Why? I'm not regarding you as the body. I'm lightly esteeming you. I'm thinking more highly of myself than what I am you. And he says, because of that, some are weak and sick, and we die early. Why? Because it's about honor. I'm going to tell you something. You guys, now it don't happen to me as much as what it used to. But there have been times that I have been so offended, so hurt, so disappointed, different things like that, that I'm telling you, I've been going to quit this church and just go to church somewhere where I can just sit down over there in my little amen corner, and all I got to do is look straight ahead, pay attention, and say amen. And deal with nothing and nobody else. But you know what kept me a lot of times, or most of the time? You. Because I would think, what's going to happen to Johnny? What's going to happen to Stacy? What's going to happen to Sandy? Where are they going to go? What's going to happen to them, Lord? What if they backslide? What if they, will they go to church somewhere else? God, will they serve you? Do you understand? Because I think that of you, God thinks much of me. But see, you got other people that we mean nothing to them. And I'm not trying to down nobody. But they are the ones that you'll see very little of the honor of God in their lives. Because they don't honor God to much degree, and they don't honor God's people to much degree. Amen? Just like there's some that they come, you know, and all the time, and they think very little of us, you know. They go through whatever they go through, and they do whatever they do, and they don't think twice about us. God doesn't take that lightly. Not that I want them to think about us or whatever. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you? God is saying, I want to do and be everything that y'all have asked for, but I need you to do and be everything that I'm asking for. Because the more that we honor God, the more that we hunger and we thirst. I'm going to have to stop because our time is up. I heard a guy one time. He said, when you want God like this, somebody's got your head underwater and they're drowning you. He said, when you want God more than what you want that next breath when you're under that water, you'll get Him. You'll absolutely get Him. But if you don't want Him at all, you only think about Him when you have a problem, you only pray to get your needs met or something like that, He says He doesn't regard everything. God doesn't regard every offering. God doesn't accept every prayer. Right? We've seen that in some of the other things that we read. But I want to encourage you this morning to bring honor and glory to God as much as we can at home and out here. And then when we come to church, you know, try to be aware of the Lord, you know, and not just talk about anything and everything. Because how many knows, the more I am aware of Him, the more it'll help keep me. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share this morning? Go ahead, Stacy.